Grace, mercy, and peace to you. From God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today is from our gospel reading where Jesus said to his disciples, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And as we hear Peter's confession from Matthew, we again also say, confess with him that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We look at our confession. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I saw a sketch on YouTube the other day. Well, probably more than the other day. I think it was more than a year ago now, but it was kind of cute. So, it had a suited professional woman who called up a number of other professional women and said that they needed to have a meeting. An emergency meeting. And it looked as they gathered in front of desks and tables with a projector in the front that it was just like any other big business meeting. But the topic, when she got to it, was this invitation a date? And they start to go through exactly what God said. They go through charts. They go through mitigating variables. They say, what exactly was said? They plot the time of day when the invitation was given against when they'd said they'd actually meet to try to see if there was an intersection that said date or not date. They discuss the number of people who were privy to see if it was just a casual, we're all just getting together and hanging out, or if it was an actual date. And finally, one of them in frustration says, I can't tell, it's just too close to call. Too close to call. Then, the cell phone of the principal, the one who called them all together, rings. And a man asks if they're still on for drinks. And when she says, yes, they are, he says, great, it's a date. Well, mission accomplished. What you call things, though, it matters. This might seem more like the prospect of the friends trying to figure out whether something is a date or who likes who. It might sound a lot more like middle school than maybe adult, what adults do. But the truth is, what we call things, it matters. And more even to what than to other people, what we call things matters to us. It changes the way we think about them. It changes the way we react to them. After all, we wear different things just to hang out than we do, say, to go to church or say when we're trying to impress someone that maybe we're dating. We wear different things. So whether it's hanging out or dating or going to church, it matters. And sometimes we try to combine it so we can do something and deny what we're hoping. You know what behavior is okay? If we say, well, I'm single, that might be different than what we'd say if we say, well, I have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, if we're dating. And that might still be different than what we might say when, well, I have a husband or a wife. I'm married. The way we think matters. And there are plenty of other times. We can think of many in our world today where what we call something matters. Is something free speech or is it hate? Is it, what is a man or a woman? What is marriage? Is something law and order or is it brutality? Are these protesters or are these rioters? It matters. What we, by knowing what to call them, we've probably already said how we're going to react. And we discuss, what do these things mean? They change how we act. Shakespeare might have said a rose by any other name would smell just as sweet, but the truth is, what we call things It matters. Well, I say it matters primarily to us. So Jesus' question, it matters. Maybe not so much as first, except as it leads into the second one. The first one, who do people say the Son of Man is? And the disciples give all sorts of answers. Some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. Still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And we could add our own answers here too. Some would say, well, he's not even a historical figure. He's a figment of someone's imagination. Others would say he was a fraud. Others would say he's a good man. He was a good man among many good men. But here's the truth. None of those answers by themselves matter or change much about what we think. We might plot them on a graph, but they don't actually change much about Jesus. They don't actually change how we relate to them. You can talk about a lot of things in the third person. We find that easier because then we're not, it doesn't change us. But a second question cuts right to the heart, cuts through all of the intellectual debate you can have about can you prove things to be true, and instead says, but who do you say that I am? If we took it outside of the context of church, put it somewhere else into other relationships, this kind of introduces a proposal. It's kind of going from dating to marriage. It invites it invites an I do. And Peter, to this question, gives a hearty yes, a hearty yes, a firm I do. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus is not some casual acquaintance. He's not a fun date. He's not someone who said some good things, but we can ignore what we don't like. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God, God come in the flesh. A life-changing, a life-altering relationship. And this confession is life-changing and life-altering, not for Jesus, but for Peter. And for those disciples who can confess with him the same thing. Peter confesses Christ. And Christ tells Peter, and he tells all who confess Peter, that on this confession, we can stand firm as a rock. That on this confession, Christ will build his church. On this confession, even the gates of hell will not stand, because Christ himself throws down the gates of hell. Christ himself throws down both hell and death. And those who are joined, who Christ speaks the word as they confess him, and he makes them his own, they too will tower over death and hell. They will stand with him. In this confession, we are joined to Christ. At your baptism, the Father and the Son and the Spirit, the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit was confessed for you, that you would be joined to Christ. And God himself confessed that you are his child, joined as a child of the promise. And how close we are as we're joined. Paul himself writes, for this reason, a man will leave his father and his mother and be united with his wife, and the two will become one flesh. And this is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ in the church. When Christ is confessed and we are joined to him in baptism, when we say our I do's in our confession, Christ is in us and we are in him. He who spoke a word and made light. When we confess him, he confesses us before the Father. And he makes, as he speaks that word, he makes his light shine in us. as he calls us his own. It's what mere words. In the mouth of God, they create what it is, and he has given us, through his grace, the power to speak his words, that he would also make us his children through them. So confess his name. Confess him with your mouth. We'll start there. We have two times during the service that we have something we call confession. In particular. The first, you can probably think of where they are. And confession, that's just where we speak the truth. We speak the truth together, or at least in front of each other. That's what a confession is. And when a criminal confesses his guilt, he's talking about in front of someone else what he's done. Although two times we confess, their first one, where we speak the truth, at least before each other, is at the beginning of the service, when we say that we are sinful and unclean. We have sinned against him in what we have done and what we have left undone. We're poor, miserable sinners. That we're seeking the mercy of God, not justice, because we don't deserve it. But we seek the mercy of God, not the punishment we deserve. And this is true. We are poor, miserable sinners. We are sinful and unclean. And in this confession, we learn not to look to ourselves, but to look to God. Because we find that nothing good lies in us, and the world would have us all confess how great we are. That's what you're supposed to do on a resume, right? Talk about how great you are. It's why you have other people lined up as references to talk about how great you are. And yet before God, we, and before each other, we admit that we are not great. But God is great. We cannot look to ourselves, so we flee to refuge to God. That's our first confession. More of who we're not. And it's a hard one to speak. But God is faithful. And he leads us again to a second confession. The creed. Where we confess one God. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. We confess the Father who makes us, the Son who redeems us, the Spirit who sanctifies us. And here, God, as we speak in the name of the Father and the Son and the Spirit, God changes who we are. And he continues the change in who we are. He brings to mind the baptism which changed who we are and that we continue in the new person he calls us to be. That we have the name of the Father and the Son and the Spirit. That we are created and redeemed and sanctified to be in Christ. To be with God. Where we're baptized into this confession. Where we've become his disciples. We are one with him and with each other. That he gives us all his benefits. Even the forgiveness of sins for us and the forgiveness of sins for others. Because that's how close we have become with him. Through words that we confess. And more so through the word that he speaks back to us. When we make this confession, God changes who we are. Our first loyalty becomes to him. Not to friends, not to mother or father or son or daughter, but to him. Because if you have a God, and we confess we do, one for whom we seek good, who made us, who redeems us, who sanctifies us, who calls us his own, well, that changes everything about who we are and how we relate to each other and how we are joined to each other. In a wedding, there is often a name change. How much more in the sacrament of baptism, how much more in the confession of Christ's name that we have it? Do we now say how much we represent Him? Now in life, we can get kind of sick of it. When someone goes on and on, say, about their spouse, the one whose name they took, how great their spouse is. And partly that's because we don't believe it. We don't follow their confession. And yet, when we confess the name that we have, that we've been baptized into Christ, the Son of the living God, and that we have become children of God in Him, how much we are called to testify to the goodness that God has given us, how He has made us, and He gives us all good things, and more than that, He has taken away our sin and given us life eternal through the blood of His Son, and how He keeps us in that faith through the Spirit. We don't speak about the lesser pleasures of this world. We don't revel in them, because we have something better to talk about. We have far more in the very Son of God. And remember that. Confess Christ boldly, as Peter did. Do it with your mouth. But more than that, do it as Peter later did also with his life, where he confessed Him even when he was arrested, even when he was put into jail, even when he also was crucified. When he confessed Christ, he was made someone new. And God was faithful, and even through his later denial, God was still faithful to him. And Peter stood firm and confessed Christ, and the gates of hell did not stand against the message that he sent. Well, stand firm also against everything that would separate you from Christ, because He is faithful. The gates of hell, they will not keep Him from you. Even death, and death on a cross, it does not keep Him from you. But it becomes the gateway that He goes through, where He shows His love for you and for your soul, where He's joined Himself to you by a covenant of blood on the cross that He declared from ages past, and showed through the sacrifices on the altar, but then demonstrated what it really meant when the very Son went to the cross. So confess Him with your mouth, and then confess Him with your life. Care for others, giving your life for them as Christ has given His life for you, because you cannot lose your life. Jesus did not stay in the tomb. You will not either. The last day will come, and He will raise all the dead, and call to Himself all who called on Him, who confessed Him, and give them life eternal. Those who confess Him before men, He will confess before His Father in heaven. So remain in the Word that He's given. Confess Him, that He may remain in you. Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you always. Amen.